Every time I get up here, I'll be so nervous. I told Steve that. I said, every time I get up here, I'll be so nervous, you know. Well, anyway, I'm going to try to quote Psalm 37. And it's some history. Got the ringing. It's some history behind it. Because when I was incarcerated the first time, I went to prison, did 7 years. And my mother used to come see me. And I told my mother one time on a visit, I said, Mom, I said, I can't serve God in jail. I said, it's too much evil around here. You know, I said, always getting into fights. And my mama said, Rama, she said, just learn Psalm 37 and say it every day, you know. And so here, this for my mom, Mrs. Leona Cage. This for my mom, who's in heaven right now. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall I dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in the wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord shall inherit their. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his plan, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked pileth against the just and gaspeth with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he see that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword and bend their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to say such as be an upright conversation. Their sword has entered into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. A little that the righteous man had is better than the riches of many wicked. The arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and the inheritance shall be forever. This should not be a sham in the evil time. In the days of the famine, this shall be satisfied. The step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. He delighted in his way. And though he fall, he's not utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and his seed is blessed. I went from verses from 1 to 19, and then I did it from 23 to 26. Got 40 verses in it, but the Lord give me that. Give God a hand clap.
Amen. That's awesome, brother. I love the Psalms. That's impressive, right? He's got a good memory. I got to write everything down. I'm forgetting my passwords and I'm punching a thing in. It's like Spider-Man 504 is not a valid password. Whatever. So before I forget, I know that many people in our church are dog lovers, so I wanted to mention that I'm trying to find a new home for this little dog. It's a cute little guy, but he tends to bark a lot. But if you're okay with that, let me know, and I'll jump the fence and grab that little joker out of my neighbor's yard. Barks about 5,000 times a day. That's just a rough estimate. Just kidding, y'all. Just kidding. But there is a way to stop your dog from barking in the front yard. Put him in the backyard. I actually have two dogs. Their names are Rolex and Timex. They're watchdogs. I wrote a book on dogs, and it was hard. I probably should have used paper. But how about this cold weather, right? Man. Autumn leaves and winter begins. It's a nice day for a light sweater, right? Nice day for a cardigan. You know, most Americans sleep with one comforter and two sheets. That's a blanket statement. The snuggle is real. It's so cold, I poured cornflakes and got frosted flakes. And my wife ate Ice Krispies. These jokes are cool, right? They break the ice. All right, let me stop while I'm behind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we could be here seeking you together. Lord, we open our hearts to you, and we ask that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would pull out your sermon notes to fill out. Our sermon title tonight is Heart Issues. Now, if you're in the medical field, this term might make you think of organ failure, but that's not our meaning tonight. This is more along the lines of matters of the heart, or you might say from the heart. This is important for us, so let's look at what the Lord said in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 15, he said, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." So right away, we see how important this is, and we understand that the word heart means more than this organ in our chest that's pumping blood through our body. The word heart holds a lot of different meanings depending on how you use it. For example, if I say that my friend has a heavy heart, that's not referring to the weight of it. It means that he's feeling down and depressed. But if I say that he's lighthearted, it means that he's carefree and happy. A cold heart means that you're not friendly and you don't care. But a warm heart is the opposite. It means that you're a loving, caring person. Or you might say a person has a big heart because they love a lot. If we do something with our whole heart, that means we're committed 100%. And tonight I'm talking to you from the heart. That means I believe what I'm telling you. So the word heart holds a lot of different meanings for us. But every time we use it, it's meant to be important. When we get to the heart of the matter, that means we've reached the most central, most important part. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Where is your heart? And what is your treasure? What is it that you treasure the most? That's our topic tonight. That's our discussion. And here's our first blank to fill in. Our heart equals our emotions. Jesus said our most important commandment is to love. Look at it in Matthew's gospel. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. They say love comes from the heart, right? Well, this says for us to love the Lord with all of our heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's not hard. Not when your neighbors are neighborly, but what about when they're not? What about when you have bad neighbors? They're like obnoxious and loud at 4 a.m. and drive through your yard and mess stuff up. What about those kind of neighbors? Do things intentionally just to mess with you. How do we treat them? What about your coworkers that treat you wrong, that slander you and try to make you look bad, maybe take credit for your work? How are we supposed to treat these people? Look at Luke. Jesus said, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen. Love God, love your neighbor, and love your enemy. Those are not just suggestions, those are commandments. But how do we accomplish that? How are we able to love our enemy? They say that love comes from the heart, but really and truly, this kind of love only comes from God. He gives us the love that we need. Look at Romans. It says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. That's what makes us different. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's one of them anyway. God's love is poured out into our hearts. Praise God. Thank God for that. Amen. In 1 Peter, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Okay, our next blank, our mind and heart equal our command center. In Proverbs, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So the mind and the heart work together as partners. They house our thoughts and our emotions, and they're not independent from each other. Sad thoughts bring sad feelings. Happy thoughts, happy feelings. The mind and the heart, and that's our command center, and that's where our decisions are made. That's why the Bible says things like, decide in your heart how much to give, or as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said several times to the Pharisees, why do you think these things in your heart? As a man thinks in his heart. And remember what Jesus said, it's out of what comes out of the heart, that's what defiles him. Look at Psalms. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I love that verse. That should be all of our prayer, that God would see into our heart and be pleased. Our next blank, our mind and heart equal our will and determination. In Colossians, it says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Whoop, there it is. Look, the only way to strengthen your willpower is to exercise it. And when someone hangs in there until the end, we say that they have a lot of heart. Endurance, determination, these things come from the heart. In Matthew, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We need to stand firm, be resolved, even stubborn, set our hearts and our minds on things above. Let's look at James. He said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Amen. So God does not cause us to fall away. It's our own desires that do that. Remember what Jesus said, it's what comes out of the heart. That's what defiles us. That's why we must guard our heart. Everything we do flows from the heart. Our next blank, our heart equals our desires. We all have desires hidden away in our heart. Or we might think that they're hidden. Nothing is hidden from God. We might try to hide things, but that doesn't work out really. Sometimes we're more obvious than we realize. Look at Proverbs. It says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. That's a good one. So we can't really hide what's in our heart. And if we're going to be true, it has to come from the heart. Our heart equals our desires. It said in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is your greatest treasure? What do you love the most? Is it God? That's the most important command in the Bible. And if we love the Lord with all of our heart, then it's going to show in our lives. Our lives reflect what's in our heart. In Psalms, it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. When we desire something, we chase after it. Are we chasing after God? Here's what God promises. Look at Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We can't do it halfway. He said he rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. Hallelujah. He said that he will draw near to us if we draw near to him. Now listen, maybe tonight you're hearing this message and you're starting to realize that your heart has not been in the right place. And because of that, your life is not reflecting God's blessings. You're not happy. If your heart is not right with God, then you won't have the joy that only he can bring, the joy of the Lord. You're not alone, and it's not too late. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way. One common misconception that we follow is if we follow our heart, we'll all be okay. That's what the world teaches, and a lot of people believe that. Just follow your heart, it'll be fine. But that's how we end up in trouble in the first place. Look at Jeremiah. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And look at this verse in 1 John. This is an interesting verse of scripture. It says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. So it's pretty clear from God's word that we can't always trust what our heart tells us. Our heart will deceive us. It'll condemn us if we believe it. But God is greater than our hearts. When your heart says to give up, remember that God says that he's your strength. He gives strength to the weak. That's what the Bible says. When our hearts tell us that we've gone too far, that we've messed everything up, and then it's too late. Remember what God's word says. His grace is greater than our sin. It always will be. When our heart is wrong, that's when we need God to change our heart. Here's the good news. You can write this down. The word of God transforms our heart. No, that's a long one. The word of God transforms our heart. In Ezekiel, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God is an awesome, loving, forgiving God. And he promises to change us if we're willing. He tells us exactly how he'll do it. And it all starts with God's word. In Matthew, Jesus gives us this parable called the parable of the sower. It teaches us about how and why God's word affects different people differently. It's all based on the condition of their heart. He said, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, they were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Anybody here like gardening? I love to do gardening work at home. It's one of my favorite hobbies. And I always picture these verses, these parables when I'm doing gardening work. It's kind of neat. God's word is so cool. Verse 18, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So Satan will actually try to snatch God's word from us if he can get away with it. We can't let him do that. We have to hold on to God's word no matter what. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, if we're going to stand and not fall away, we have to be rooted in God's word. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Amen. This is an awesome parable, y'all. God's word is so cool. I love the lesson here. So God's word is the seed that brings new life. And that happens when his word reaches our heart and it takes root. Remember what Jesus said, that everyone has to be born again to see the kingdom. That's the beginning of our faith, the beginning of a new life with God. That change only comes when we hold on to God's word in our heart. Then the seed grows and it produces the fruits of the Spirit that God promises: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Our lives reflect what's in our heart. If we want God's blessing in our lives, it starts with God's word. He promises to change our hearts if we believe. That's why when we pray to repent, we ask God to change our hearts and to dwell in our hearts. Look at Ephesians. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. Now, doesn't that sound awesome? We like the sound of that, right? I want the fullness of God. And love that surpasses knowledge. The Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. No human mind has conceived all the good things that God has in store for those who love him. Hallelujah. And it starts with God's word. God's word transforms our heart. Thank God for that. Amen. Look at Psalms. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And in verse 17, it says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." That verse is a prayer of repentance. God's word transforms us when we repent. And you can write this down. Repenting is surrendering your heart to God. Let's look at what the prophet Joel said, or Joel, however you pronounce it. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." Now, I know we don't like that word surrender. It's not in our nature. We all want to live freely and independently. We've all gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But if we don't surrender our heart, if we refuse and we say no, then it's like that seed falling on rocky ground. It won't take root, and Satan is going to come and snatch it away. If he gets that, that means he's stealing all of God's blessings, all the fruits of the Spirit. We have to surrender. That means that we have to let our walls down. You see, we build walls to protect ourselves because we've all been hurt in the past. But those walls end up becoming our own prison. We don't want to keep walls up and block God from our lives. That's like the seed that doesn't take root and it doesn't grow. God's word teaches us how to surrender. In Psalms, it says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Thank God for his word. His word teaches us the truth. It transforms us and it protects us. In Romans, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Be transformed by renewing your mind. How do we renew our mind? God's word. His word is the key. Let's set our mind and our hearts on things above. Amen. Okay, I need to finish up here. We're going to close pretty soon. We've been talking about heart issues because it's what's on the inside that counts. The Bible specifically says that God looks into our heart. Paul wrote that God made his light shine into our heart. Hallelujah. So here's our final blank to fill in. Our input determines our output. And this next verse of scripture is a key verse. In Luke 6:45, it says, "A good man brings good things out of a good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Our words are important. Our words matter. They show us what's on the inside. And when we love God's word, it tends to come up in conversation. People hear it, and that's what people need to hear. It's God's will for us to share his word. We all need his word. So let's fill our heart with his word. That's when he fills our heart with his love from the Holy Spirit. And that's an everlasting love, a love that never fails. The very first scripture that I shared with you tonight said that the words are from our heart, and it's those words that come out of a heart that defile us. Well, this final verse is a good counter to that one. This is in Romans. It says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I don't know how you feel tonight hearing this message. I don't know the condition of your heart. But remember that parable. Some people are going to hear God's word, and they're going to refuse it. They won't receive it, and they won't get that newness of life that God is offering. Others will hear it, and they'll believe, but they won't nurture it. They won't root themselves down, and they'll quickly fall away. It's only when we hear and understand that God's word is going to change our heart. When we accept that, that means that we surrender to his will. And that's not something that we should be afraid of. His will is good, pleasing, and it's perfect. Surrendering means that you believe that, and it means that you trust in him. You can do that tonight. If you've never done that before, then it's a matter of your salvation for all eternity. It could be the most important thing you ever do. It's going to be between you and God. We're not going to ask anybody to raise our hands or call anybody up front or anything like that tonight. We don't have to do that. God sees into our heart. He knows. We're going to pray together, but this is going to be between you and God. Or maybe you have surrendered to God. You are a child of God, but now you need to grow. You need the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the Spirit of love, joy, and peace, kindness, self-control. That only comes from God. Would you stand with me tonight? Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word teaches us and tells us the truth. So even if our heart misleads us, we know the truth because we know your word. Lord, we know that you see into our heart and nothing is hidden from you. You know our thoughts and our intentions. You know all of our secret desires. You know us better than we even know ourselves. God, we pray that you'll teach us to surrender. We don't want to trust in our own ways. We need you to change us. We don't want to follow our heart. We yield to your will, God. We know that your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Our heart is our offering to you. Let our hearts and our minds be set on you, God. Lord, we pray that you would give us more faith to live the best life that we could. Our desire and our treasure is you. And we're seeking you here together. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts right now, God, and show us your way. Fill us with your love. Let us follow you all of our days. And may the seed that you've planted grow in our heart. May our lives show the fruit of the Spirit that you promised in your word. We need your love and your joy. We need your peace, God. We ask for your kindness and your goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. That only comes from you. Lord, we know that all things are possible to those who believe. We believe, God. We believe. God, I thank you for everyone here tonight. I thank you for this word that you've given us and you've spoken us to us. Lord, I pray that it would abide with us and that it would take root and that it would grow and bring a change in our lives. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, turn it over to you, and band, we're going to play an exit song, I guess.
Band, yep. All right. Now that I've got your attention, everybody, please, if you got one of these, make sure you fill out your connection card. There'll be an usher at each door. Band's coming up. turn